same message of Jesus, Savior, Healer, Deliverer, King. However, I want to remind us that the Holy Spirit isn't only for signs and wonders and miracles. Can I take a couple of minutes and go where we really live, the day-to-day stuff? Because there's some, we need to draw on the anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit for the everyday challenges that we face in life. Amen. Sir, He will empower you to be nice to your wife, even when you don't feel like it. Wives, ditto. Okay. In our lives, He'll help us in choosing a right attitude when we could justify just having a bad one. We need to make a draw on the anointing of the Holy Spirit when we want to just add our gripes to the murmuring that's always already going on in the office grapevine or in the plant that you work in or whatever that setting is. Even when you have great opportunity to get offended at somebody you go to church with right here, remember, operate in the power of the Spirit and don't go there. Make a different choice. When a temptation to sin comes, the pull is great to get us to yield to what our old flesh wants to do, then we need to operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Word tells us what to do, even when our feelings are lying to us and trying to mislead us and pull us aside. 1 Corinthians 10:13, familiar to many of you, but let's go there one more time. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. Read the rest with me. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. There is an exit sign flashing. There is a way out. He did not say you sit down beside it, entertain it, and you will endure it. No, you'll fall. But get up and get out. But God will provide. That's how it connects together. Live in the power of the Spirit. Philip had been willing. He had walked through God's qualifying process of serving. He was taking the opportunities on the heels of adversity and disappointments. And he was yielding to the power of the Holy Spirit. And he shared the message of Jesus. So what was the result? Acts 8, verse 8. And there was great joy in the city. Great joy. You saw what God had done. And as we continue renewing our thinking about what normal Christianity should look like, let me cover one more area. Number four is always be open to more of God. Open door. Be open to more of God. I've walked with Jesus for most of my life. Got saved when I was young. But I'm telling you, there's so much more that God wants to get to me and through me. Have I got any partners in here that believe that for ourselves together? Now these new believers in Samaria, new Christians, they were experiencing the incredible reality of knowing that their sins were forgiven. Hallelujah. They had been born again. They were in relationship with God through the power of Jesus and His resurrection. But there was still more to come. Acts 8, verse 12. But when they believed Philip, as he proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. There's a public part of this confession of faith. Some of you were in baptism class this morning. Next Sunday during worship, we'll have water baptism. People will be able to publicly experience the symbolic death, burial, resurrection, raised to walk in new life. Their public commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. That'll happen next Sunday. One of the first public things that you get to do as a child of God. Water baptism doesn't cause you to be saved, be right with God. But if you are born again, walking with Jesus, then I want to encourage you to do that at the next time, the next opportunity we have beyond next Sunday. But listen, these people did that. They're born again believers, had great joy. They received Jesus. They've now been baptized. But there was still more that God had for them. And there's more that God has for us too. This morning, Acts 8, verse 14. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Apostolic authority. This is a new territory. I mean, these were, Samaritans were a mixed, they weren't just Jews. They'd intermarried, they'd mixed up religion. Aren't you glad that God isn't, our ethnicity doesn't matter to God? Our history doesn't, but He is in redemption mode. And in Jesus, if we said yes to Him, we're made brand new creations. Hallelujah. One Father, Him, God. Well, the apostles, they heard Samaria. These people had gotten saved. They received the word of God. And they sent Peter and John to them. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. For they had only been baptized in the name, the authority of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. The word receive from the Greek, it means to lay hold of, to claim for oneself. It means to receive what's been offered. The same Holy Spirit was poured out previously on believers in Jerusalem before this time. Let's go back and look at four verses, this initial outpouring for just a few moments. Acts 2, verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit, Holy Spirit, enabled them. The Bible says there were about 120 disciples of Jesus in that room. It wasn't just the 12. 120, those that would gather that day. The windstorm filled the house where they were sitting, the sound of that. Listen, God doesn't want to just fill the house. He wants to fill us. Not with wind, but with the power of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. Normal Christianity is the ongoing transformational work of the Holy Spirit in us. First, to know Him as Lord and Savior. Some of you sitting in this room, this may have been like the weirdest service you've already been in your whole life. These people are maybe radical and fanatical, or a couple of the descriptions that came to your mind. But the reality is, the basis of our expression of praise to God is the relationship that God gave to us, not because of good works that we did, but the Bible says, by His mercy He saved us. I hear one of the sisters this morning especially being very vocal, and somebody might think, well, you don't have to do all that. Let me just help you with something. You don't know what God's brought her through. You don't know what God's brought him through. You don't know what God's brought them through. My praise is my praise. Not because I'm somebody great or any of us are, but because He's so great. If you're here in this place this morning and you haven't yet entered the relationship with Jesus, I'm not merely talking about saying the words of a prayer, because I'm talking about a heart transaction whereby some things that need to be realized. The Bible says that apart from Christ, our natural state is when we become enemies of God. In my independence, left to on my own, my natural bent and yours is toward rebellion against God. Do my own thing. But God came, and that inherited sin nature came from Adam's rebellion and on through that. But God so loved, somebody help me with John 3:16. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That dimension of life, because what Jesus did was take the punishment that you and I deserve for our independence from God. Jesus opened the door so we could have a relationship with God through His sacrifice. He paid the debt And if I would receive him, the Bible says, repent and believe the gospel. Repent and be converted so that our sins could be blotted out. What is being offered today by the word of God and by the Lord is that your past, however nice but independent from God, however cruddy and wicked, that can be forgiven. Not only forgiven, a clean slate given, but the Bible says if anyone's in Christ, they're a new creation. He will give a new spirit on the inside of us, transform our sinful human spirit into a new creation work, something that never was before. I want you to bow your hearts together with me for a moment. I'm not going to embarrass anyone this morning. I just want you to, I do want prayer partners to just go ahead and come. But with your eyes closed throughout this room, if you're here today and you said, you know, I want this new start in Jesus. As I'm about to ask you in a moment to raise your hand, I don't mean for church membership. I don't mean that you're joining this group. I'm talking about you coming in a surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, letting him have access. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will hear my voice and open the door, Jesus said, I'll come in. He comes in with his power and his washing. If you're here today and you want to make that new start with Jesus, and maybe you're one who used to walk with the Lord and you've gotten off track, you backslidden, you to the extent that even the relationship with God's been cut off, today you can start it all over. First time or a time beyond that, would you slip your hand up all through this room? And I want to acknowledge you. I want to lead us in a prayer publicly. Thank you, ma'am. Are there some more that would just say, today's my day. I got to start this thing over with God. Some of you, I need to say this again. You need to understand it's a whole lot harder to run from God than it is to run with God. And if you're here today and thinking, well, I don't want to raise my hand, I don't want to start this journey because I don't know if I can make it in my own power. I don't know if I can really turn over and do right. I'm going to tell you, you can't. I can't either. Without the power of Jesus, thank you. 2 or 3 more hands that are up. I'm telling you today, because we're going to say, yes, Jesus, it's his power that's going to put us over. No, I'm not planning on walking in rebellion to him. He's equipping him. Oh, glory to God. I want us to all stand together. Many hands that have been raised, but I want us to pray this prayer. Again, it's not magic words, but some biblical words. And we can pray this together. Lord Jesus, I come to you. I am not running from you anymore. Today I'm running to you. Jesus, I know you died for me, taking my place on the cross. And you rose again. I know that I've sinned. I've done my own thing. But I turn from my way. And I turn to you, Jesus. I repent of my sins. Father, forgive me. Come into my heart. Make me brand new, just like your word says. I choose today, from this day forward, by your power, to live with you as my owner, my boss, my Lord. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your power at work in me. From this day on, show me I'm yielding myself to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Oh, glory to God. Give God one praise in this place. Oh, Lord, thank you for those who said that, meant it. And before you leave, and I'm not dismissing just yet, give 3 more minutes. But before you leave, those that raised your hand, or you didn't even raise your hand, but you prayed that prayer, you meant it, then make sure and get with one of these men or women up here. We've got some materials to help you on this new journey. Free Bible to give to you, some other things too. New beginnings. The Bible says there is joy in heaven over one that repents. There's been more than one this day. There's joy. If heaven's partying, we should too. But I got to say something else, because again, normal biblical Christianity is to be Holy Spirit filled. To experience Jesus not only as Savior and Lord, as huge, that's huge, but also as the one who baptizes us in the Holy Spirit, fills us. John 7:37, Jesus gave this invitation. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Verse 38, say it with me. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And verse 39, the first part of that verse, this Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit, that they that believe on him, the word is, should receive. Somebody say more. Somebody say, I want more. I want more. I want more. Listen, most in this room have said yes to Jesus as Savior. Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your power at work in me. But God wants more for us. Acts 2, verse 38. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And some would say, oh, that was just for back in Bible days. No, no, no. Look at verse 39. Read it. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Normal Christianity is being filled. If you've been born again, you've received Jesus, but haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit yet, say, well, what is that about? We're saying that work of God, these people in Samaria, they got saved, they got born again. Peter and John go down, you need something else. There's a receiving of the Holy Spirit. This morning, I'm just asking, if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, biblical pattern is when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. The pattern is there on the inside. There's a bubbling up, a rising up, a speaking in other tongues. It's not incoherent babble or gibberish. It's the power of the Spirit. Now, start at square one. Jesus said, if you're thirsty, anybody thirsty for more? If you're thirsty, he said, come drink. Come drink. And out of your belly comes a river, rivers of living water. I want you to just step out and come. Specifically, you're coming to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can just step out and come. Listen, you say, well, I've had that experience 10 years ago, 20 years ago, but there's not the river. See, Dave shared that vision that God had given earlier, just a little trickle coming out around the dam. God wants the flood. Lift up the gates. Open the gates. The flood, the power of God needs to be operating in normal Christianity in our city and in this place and in our families and in our lives. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians 5, verse 18, it says, be being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled. Even if you've been filled in the past, I'll just say, let's get refilled tonight, this morning. Worship team's going to worship. I want you to step out and come. You say, I want more. I want more of God. You put whatever definition on it you want. Would you just come? Some of you say, I don't need anybody praying for me, but you come step out. There are people stepping out. Can you come? Oh, we love you, Lord. Church, let's go ahead and worship. Take about 5 minutes right here. Let's watch what God will do. Fill to overflow. Lord, we don't want to be powerless Christians. We want to be people exhibiting your power. Wherever we are, fill us, Holy Spirit. Fill us, empower us. Hallelujah. And saints, it's okay to just go ahead and pray in the Spirit. You can pray quietly if you want. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you.